We live in an age of updates. My phone, it seems like every other day, it's like your phone is going to be updated to the latest version tonight, whenever, and somehow it just doesn't. Our government policies, it seemed to change and update. It used to be we had three channels, you know, and the news would come on, and then at like 12 o'clock at night, you would see a flag come on, and then this little symbol come on because all the stations would go off. Then CNN came out with 24-hour news. And so every hour, there's something going on somewhere, and there's these updates. The problem is truth begins to shift, and truth feels negotiable. It changes. You know, what we used to believe is maybe not what we believe anymore, or what we didn't believe, now we do believe. And this is not new. This has been going on throughout all of history. Isaiah chapter 40 was written to a people that were facing this political instability. They were facing exile. They were facing uncertainty. They didn't know what was going on. And God's message wasn't, hey, it's going to work out in your timing. That wasn't God's message. God's message was this. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, says this: the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. In a world of uncertainty and change, God's word is the eternal foundation. It's the rock. When everything else fades, when everything else fails, when everything else falls apart, His word remains. Your life starts to fall apart. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where to turn. You don't know where to go. God's word is there. His truth prevails. We must not only know the enduring nature of the Scripture, though, but we got to build our lives on it. When we're looking for something unshakable, God gives us His word. In fact, Jesus puts it this way. He said it was like a man building a house. These two men building a house. One is building it, thought it was great, beachfront property, right? He's building it on the sand. This is cool, right? Until the wind comes and the waters come and everything, and what happens? It's destroyed. Said the smart man, build his house on the rock. What is the rock? This is our rock. Have you not read? Have you not read? Just a couple things as we look at that Isaiah chapter 40, and that verse really spoke out. The first thing, it says this: the grass withers, the flower fades. Our world is fading. Our world is fading. God uses this imagery from nature. He's saying that grass, he's talking about grass, that's temporary. It's provision. It provides comfort, but it's temporary. Flowers, they're beautiful in the season. I was just sharing with David Bice earlier today. He's waiting for his plumeria to grow just so it'd be fragrant. It's what they make the lays out of, apparently. And I said, well, I had gardenias and Confederate jasmine, and that smell in the backyard was awesome. But now there's a couple of those gardenias on there that are brown and wilted, and because it's not the season for them anymore. You know, they grew and they bloomed and it was beautiful, but they fade. It's temporary. They all fade. And that's true of everything in our lives. I mean, think about it. I look in the mirror. What happened to my youth? It faded. I used to say, someone said, oh, you know, look at your son Philip. He got your looks. Yeah, he took all of my looks, you know. How many of you have gone on Facebook and you've looked at some of the friends you went to high school with, and you look at them and you go to your spouse and you say, you see this person? I went to school with that person. We're the same age. They look like they're like 100. And of course, Margie's nice and she goes, oh, yeah, you look much younger than that. Everything fades. Relationships. Shift. I remember in high school, I was close knit with a group of people. We were going to be the best friends forever. In fact, check out our yearbooks. That's what we signed in our yearbooks. We signed it. Hey, best friends for life. Never change. I bet I was the first one to sign your whole page. You know, all of those crazy things in high school. How many people in high school do I even see anymore? None. There's one guy I call occasionally, and we say, yeah, we'll get together. We never do. Our relationships fade, and they change, and it shifts. Financial security. You know, you put all your money in a 401, and next thing you know, you turn around, and it's a 2011 or whatever. You know, it ain't worth it anymore. We watch the stock market go up, and we put our hopes and our faith in that, but financial security can collapse. Look at job losses, recessions, depressions, all of those things. Even the plans you make can unravel. You plan out your day, and you've got your calendar, and sometimes it's even pretty color-coded. My wife's got pink and yellow and green and different colors for different things. And you plan out the day, and then you go to that first site, Margie, and what happens? They're not prepared, and what you thought was only going to take an hour ends up being three, and it ruins your whole day. It shifts, it changes, and the world is like that. And if you anchor your life to the things that fade, you will fall when it fails. I'm going to put all my hope in my friends because I can count on them. What happens when they let you down? I'm going to put all my hope in my money because, you know, you got to be financially secure. You got to do that. What happens when the stock market drops, when the banks collapse? Psalm 103, verse 15 and 16 echo that whole thing. It says this, "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone." Life fades. Things change. The Word of God does not. The second thing it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, besides the flowers fade, the grass fades and withers, it says, but the Word of God will stand how long? Forever. Forever. The Word of God endures forever. This is not just some kind of poetic phrase in there. It's a theological truth because God's word is eternal because God is eternal. God's word is trustworthy because His character is trustworthy and unchanging. His promises do not expire because His commands do not shift with the tide of culture. People change. God does not. God's word doesn't age. It outlasts whatever we do. It doesn't evolve. It doesn't change into something else. It stands. And it doesn't depend on my approval or on your approval. Well, I don't like that the Bible says that. God don't care. It defines truth. It is the truth. You may not like it, but it's the truth. His promises do not change. It will endure forever. When we die, when we leave, the only thing that's going to be here, your possessions are going to be gone, all that other stuff, the Word of God will remain. Word of God. And Jesus confirms this enduring Word. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Jesus says this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Think about that. Jesus places His words, what He says, on the same level as these eternal things. Listen to me. The things that I say, this is important. In this context, Jesus is speaking of the end of the age. He's warning of chaos and false teachers and deception and all of these things that are going on. But He's reassuring His disciples, His followers. He's saying, you know what? Everything that you can see, everything that you see, every person, everything, all the governments and everything, everything you see, even heaven and earth, will eventually go. They'll be gone. But what I say will never pass. It will never go. John 1:1 reminds this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He is God. His Word is true. His Word will remain. Jesus is the Word that was made flesh, and so when He speaks, it's like those E.F. Hutton commercials. Remember that? everybody's talking, and then someone says, yeah, but my broker's E.F. Hutton, and everybody stops, because when E.F. Hutton speaks, everyone listens. That's right. When Jesus speaks, we should be listening. We should be feasting on his word. We should be consumed by this. When he was talking to the woman at the well in Sychar, he goes and he's sharing with her, and she says, well, you want some water? Why are you asking me for water? I mean, you're a Jew. You know, I'm a Samaritan. Y'all don't have anything to do with us. What's going on? He says, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for this living water. And we can't live without water. We need water. We need more than that. We need the living water, that relationship with God. We need it to just pour over us. And then the disciples come back and said, hey, we finally got some food. He goes, man, I got food you don't even know about. And they're like, what? You just sent us into the city to get us food. What have you eaten? And he's talking about the bread of life, this water and the bread that is God, that it's his word, it's a relationship. This is who he is and what he wants for us. And he wants to sustain us, and he wants to move us past, beyond these brief moments that we cling to and think this is all there is, because this isn't it. Jesus says that his word will never pass away. So how should we live knowing that God's word endures? Well, we are living by the word in a fading world. It's things are going crazy, and we have to hold on to something. So what do? Number one, we have to trust the word more than we trust our feelings. I mean, sometimes someone will say something, it's like, well, you know what, that sounds good. That kind of feels right, but it goes against what God is saying, so it can't be true. I remember when I was younger, and the way we would listen to our favorite songs, I mean, we didn't have streaming music, you know. We had AM and FM, and that was pretty much it. And so what you would have to do with your cassette player is wait till they would play your favorite song, and then you'd have to try to hit record. Right? And you'd make this mixtape of all your favorite songs. And every once in a while, those stupid DJs would be talking over your favorite song. Like, your favorite song would be starting, dun, 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 dun. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Q94. Blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, shut up, I want to hear the song, you know? And I love that music. But what happens when you hear the same song over and over and over and over again? You start to hate that song. If I hear that song one more time, you know, you want to... I'll show you. All day long, that's going to be earwormed in your ear. In the jungle. You're going to be singing that all day now, and you're going to hate it. Because we change. Our feelings change. Things that we think are cool, things that we love, they change. I had a 1969 Mustang Fastback. That was my first car. I loved it. Everything was wrong with it. Everything. I hated that car after a while. You'd be driving and the pin in the seat would pop and you'd be down like this. You'd go like this to shift down and all of a sudden the shifter would be in your hand like this. It was the test model for the Mach 1s that came out in 71. So everything that they got wrong in the 69 Fastback, they got right in the 71s, right? But I still love that car. But man, there were times I hated that car because it depends on what my feeling was. I remember taking Margie, I picked her up, and we were going to a wedding, and I'm in a tux, and she's in a dress, and we get a flat tire in South Georgia on the way to nowhere. And Paul, you know, I'm thinking like, wow, instead of that little scissor jack they gave me, I bought one of those little hydraulic jacks that went up about that high. I'm like, that ain't working. So I'm out there changing. I hated it. Our feelings change. Things that we love, we hate. They come and go. Guess what? God's word doesn't. It doesn't come. It doesn't go. It's there. It is an anchor. It's an anchor for our peace. It gives us our worth. It gives us our purpose. It's not how we feel. It's what God said. This is what he said, Psalm 119, verse 160. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. It doesn't just kind of come how you feel. Yeah, today I feel this way, tomorrow I'll feel that way. It doesn't matter. God's word never changes, which is good. Because the Bible said, even while we were sinners, He sent Christ to die for us because he loves us. I'm glad that I don't get on his nerves so bad that he just says, you know, Paul, I've had enough. I'm done with you. That's not in his word. What his word says is that he is there. He will never leave me, never forsake me. So trust the word more than your feelings. Another thing, stand firm in a shifting culture. Culture tells us that truth can be subjective. Scripture says truth is objective and it's actually revealed. Jesus says he is the truth. Temptation will always be to bend the scripture to kind of fit the culture. Well, I know the Bible says this, but this is kind of what he meant when he said that. No, faithful disciples bend culture to fit scripture. In other words, no, this is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. It's sin. I love you. God loves you. But what you're doing is sin. Call it what it is. Don't try to put some pretty words on it and say that it's okay. It's not okay. Paul writes to the Romans. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, don't give in to all of this. Stand on God's word, the truth. And the third thing, build your life on God's word. In the parable that I was sharing with you early, Jesus says this in Matthew, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And he's our rock. You know, we've had a lot of rain lately, and I was sharing with someone, my backyard looks like a jungle now. You know, we planted some tomato plants, and they're like all over the place. And I can't get back there because there's, you know, the rain. It's just crazy, all the stuff that we going on. Guess what I found out? You can't control the weather. Any of y'all thought you can control the weather? You can't. I wish you could, but you can't. You can't control storms. You can't control the rain and the weather. You can't control the storms that come up in your life. There are going to be people that are going to come and make you angry and anxious and depressed. And there are going to be situations that come. You cannot control the storms, but you can choose what your foundation is. Where's your hope? Where's your foundation? What is your rock? The word. You know, I hate sometimes we talk about, hey, we're having Bible study. You know, when I was in school, you know, if you had to study, it was because it's something you had to do. We should be in His Word because we want to be in His Word. We should be in the devotions because we want to see what God has to say to us today. We want to fall in love with this. We don't want to just have it be like some kind of academic process. And I may be taking study wrong because I love to get in there and then I'll wrestle with some of the words. What does the Greek say? What does the Hebrew say? And that's study. But I'm doing it because I want to know. I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. But the word isn't just for study. It's for our stability. We read what he's saying and we have a firm foundation. We sing about it. We pray about it. We read about it. And then we live it. And that's why God's word is so important. So what are some practical steps? So Paul, you know, okay, good. I understand you're saying that the Bible's important. Okay, yeah, spend time in it daily. Daily, get in His word. Don't just read it occasionally. Let it be your daily bread. Another thing, maybe memorize some scripture. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, hide His word in your heart. Start off easy, you know. I think it's John 11, 33, Jesus wept. There you go. Start small. Go big. I remember in the sixth grade, we had to memorize the Psalm 23. Back then, you had prayer in school and you know, you prayed in school, and I actually prayed a lot, prayed for my test. I prayed that the teacher wouldn't find out what I did or whatever. We were praying all the time, but we had to learn and memorize Psalm 23. Memorize His word. as you're reading a passage of scripture, as you read a verse, as you read something, ask, what is it asking me to do today? What is it asking of me? What is it revealing to me? And then I was moved when Jason said, hey, Paul, we want to get people, we want to pray for you and for the church. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what that looks like, but okay, you know, we'll try it or whatever. And it was a very moving experience. So thank you as the elders and the church, and they were praying for me. We need to speak the word over each other. We need to speak the word over our family. We need to speak the word over our situations. I find more and more people, when I'm in a situation with someone and I'll say something like, yeah, you know, I just can't do that because I'm old or whatever, and they'll say something like, don't you speak that. Don't you speak that. Because the minute you speak that, you're creating an agreement. And I'm like, okay, so now I'm having to learn and retrain myself on not to be self-deprecating. You know, I have to live the way God wants me to live and be who God's called me to be. Pray and speak word over your family, your fears, your future, over everything. It's His word. And then when you find yourself in a crisis, in a moment of doubt, in a moment of fear, in a moment of anxiety, in a moment of I don't know what's going on, don't sit there and ask for help from everybody around you. You're going to get 100 different opinions. Don't go on Facebook and say, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? I don't know. Open up His word. What is God telling you? What is God revealing to you? When storms hit, you go back to what lasts. And you find out the one who calmed the storm, who controls all of that, who is still sitting on the throne and watching over you and knows you personally. In the midst of everything that you think no one knows, no one cares, no one's there, He is. And His word affirms that for us. Everything we know, nations, news, networks, even nature, all of that is going to eventually fade. It's going to fade. It's going to pass away. But the Word of God says it will never fade. It will never fail. It will never fall short. Father, I thank You for today. I thank You for Your Word, that it's alive and active. And Father, it gives us the opportunity to see who You are, Your character as it's revealed to us through Your Word. So, Father, thank You for speaking to us. Thank You for every time we open up the Scripture, Father, not only are we reading it, it is reading us. Father, I pray that You would create in all of us a hunger to go deeper into Your Word, to spend more time at Your feet, in Your throne room, and in Your presence. And, Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.